I googled to get an image of a weeping Muslim for the title of, to match the title, Ishmael, God has heard thy affliction. You know, other than the Jews, I don't know of another people who have suffered more than the Muslim people. Suffered tremendously. When you look at her eyes, it's interesting, by seeing only her eyes, you can feel part of her grief. I want to tell you a little secret. Christians do not have a monopoly on grief. Do you know that? Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and New Agers also weep. But you know what Christians do have a monopoly on? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I don't know who she is. I do not know what situation caused her to grieve, whether perhaps she lost a husband or a son or house, whatever it is. She has to face it without the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The threat of Islam is real. There really is an ISIS monster out there. The threat of Islam is real. This is a picture from Hamas. A wedding. And those are the brides. I want to ask you a question. Does that anger you? How much? Are you praying for the children who are victims of Islam? If you're not praying for them, you're not very angry. What about those men? You know they're going to have to face Jesus as their judge. Can you imagine what Jesus is going to do on the day of judgment? Remember what he said? It would be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and to be thrown into the ocean. God is not willing that any should perish. Are you concerned about those men's souls? If you're a Christian, you should be. And God is angry with sin. The threat of Islam is real. We saw that in Canada this week. Picture from Ottawa. And also, I wished I had, on the way as I was driving up, heard on the radio, a mosque in Cold Lake has been vandalized. Things couldn't be get. Can start to get very interesting in the next few months. As Canada is involved in ISIS, as you see radical Muslims and radical non-Muslims, we might begin to see what is happening in Europe come to Canada. Who are the children of Ishmael? That's not an easy answer. When we think of Ishmael, you might think that the Egyptians are Ishmael, but they are not. Remember, Ishmael was the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, and Abraham. Therefore, when we want to talk about Ishmaelites or Arabs, it's kind of difficult to really define what an Arab or what an Ishmaelite is. But I'm going to be, in general, be talking about the Arabic Muslim world. And look at what the Bible has to say about prophecy. Ishmael is from a very dysfunctional family. Hagar, a surrogate mother for Sarah, who was barren. And Sarah said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into thy maid, that maybe I may obtain child by her. Bad idea, Sarah. And Sarah said to Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. I've given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Abraham said to Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her face. Dysfunctional family. That's what Ishmael was raised in. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, when she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Dysfunctional family. A broken family. That's Ishmael's background. The Bible would indicate that Ishmael was a believer. For the sake of time, Ishmael was thrown out. Ishmael and Hagar went out to the wilderness. Ishmael was dying. When we read this, she said over against him, lift up her voice and wept, and God heard the voice of the lad. Why is that significant? We know that God heareth not sinners. He heard the voice of Ishmael, but the Bible says God heareth not the voice of sinners. I think God only hears one prayer of sinners. Save me. I believe other times when prayers of sinners are answered, it's probably not their prayers, but prayers of Christians around them who have been praying the same prayer. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. God heard the voice of Ishmael. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, and it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. He heard the voice, the prayer of Ishmael. We see that God was with the lad. That description, very similar description, is used to describe two other people. And the child Samuel grew on and was favored both with the Lord and also with men. And Jesus increased with wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. God was with the lad. Now, the children of Ishmael are blessed. They have a blessing that we do not have. Most of us are descendants of Japheth. We're Europeans. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Ishmael is of seed of Abraham. He has a blessing that we do not have. We have other blessings, but we don't have that blessing. God blessed Ishmael numerically. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Now, our modern society looks down on large families. The Bible says, Lo, children are heritages of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Arrows are in the hand of a mighty, so are the children of a youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Today, the Arabs number around 200 million people. There are less than 20 million Jews. And ye, the Jews, shall be left few in number, whereas you were the stars of heaven for multitude. because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. God has blessed the Arabs numerically. Who was it who put the oil under the Arab nations? The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. It was God who put the oil underneath the Arab lands. Who put the oil under our lands? It was God. Ishmael was not the only believer. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read these verses, but you will be able to see them. Rahab from Jericho. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them. And believe not. Rahab is from Jericho. She is Jordanian, if you use the modern nations. Ruth from Moab. She is Jordanian. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Naaman from Syria. Remember, this was the general who had captured a little Jewish girl. He had leprosy, and the little Jewish girl said, "Go to Israel, they'll be able to heal you." He went to the prophet, he said, "Wash 7 times in the Jordan River." He said, "But my servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering or sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord." Naaman is going to be in heaven. Job from Uz. Uz is Jordan, not Israel. Nebuchadnezzar. He wrote 1 chapter of the Bible. He lifted up his eyes to the Lord and his wisdom returned to him. I expect we will see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. If you read Daniel chapter 4, it certainly appears to be the words of a believer. The widow of Zarephath, Lebanon, the one who ministered to Elijah. "Now by this I know thou art a man of God, and the word of God of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth." The people of Nineveh. By the way, do you know what Nineveh's modern name is? Mosul. The capital of ISIS. Jesus confirmed that the Ninevites were saved when he said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation. 120,000 Ninevites turned to the Lord. The Egyptians, a mixed multitude, went up also with them. Jethro, he is the father of the Druze. Persia is Iran. And many of the people then became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Now, here is the problem. God gave the Jews an eternal right to the land of Israel. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. If you want to stretch out, make your generations as short as you can, we still only have about 200 generations from Abraham to us. He said, "I'll remember it for 1,000 generations. The covenant made with Abraham, an oath to Isaac, and confirmed the same for Jacob, for a law in Israel for an everlasting covenant. He has given Israel a land forever." When God told the children of Israel to go into the promised land, he told them not to meddle with Edom, Ammon, and Moab. Probably means nothing to you in this modern world. Edom is southern Jordan. Moab is central Jordan. Ammon is northern Jordan. "Meddle not with them, for I will not give you their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau for a possession, that is Edom." And the Lord said, their strength is not the Moabites, one of the sons of Lot. Neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give of thee the land for their possession. Ammon. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, the other son of Lot, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee the land of the children of Ammon for possession. Now, here is something that amazes most people. When the children of Ammon, Moab, and Edom conquered the land of modern-day Jordan, there were giants in the land. And the Lord went with the children of Ammon, Edom, and Moab and drove out the giants from before them. The Edomites dwelt there in times past, a people great and tall, and many and tall as the Anakims. Those were the giants in Israel, which were also counted as giants and Anakims, but the Moabites called them Edomites. The Horims also dwelt in Seir before time. But the children of Esau succeeded them when they destroyed them before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Let's go on. That also accounted the land of giants. Giants dwelt therein of old time. Ammonites call them Zazuzims, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them. The Lord drove out the giants for the children of Lot and the children of Edom, as he did with the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even to this day. Who drove out the giants in Edom? The Lord. Guess what? The conquest of Jordan was just as great a miracle as the conquest of Israel. But nobody preaches from Deuteronomy chapter 2. You're probably familiar that the Lord wept over the destruction of Jerusalem. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known, even thou, the least of this thy day, the things that belong to thy peace, our Lord wept over the destruction of Jerusalem. Did you know that he wept over the destruction of Moab? Therefore, mine heart shall sound for Moab like pipes, instruments of mourning. And mine heart shall sound like parts, like pipe for the men of Kerhenes, because of the riches that he hath got are perished. God wept for the destruction of Moab. Or what about Egypt? Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. When Egypt was to be destroyed, Ezekiel was to weep on behalf of the Lord. We're going to look at this a little bit later on. But concerning the destruction of Damascus, God calls her how the city of my joy. Listen to the words of God. How is the city of praise not left? The city of my joy. I put that up on Facebook this afternoon. I said, who is called the city of my joy? I said, it's not Rome. It's not Mecca. It's not even Jerusalem. And I bet you none of them could guess that it's Damascus. The city of my joy. In the future, God will judge and bless the Arab people. The future of Israel is linked to the future of the Arabs. The prophets foretold how the Jews would come back to the land of Israel in the last days. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. A picture of the ship Exodus returning to Israel. A great movie, by the way. You might want to rent that sometime, the movie Exodus. But God said when the Jews came back to the land, there was no breath in them. There is no spirit in them. Tel Aviv is the third greatest producer of pornography in the world, after Los Angeles and Holland. There is the gay pride. Now, I want you to put the sandals on an Arab in 1948. The Jews have returned back to the land of Israel. They're not religious. They are not righteous. They are defying the laws of God. You have a large army. Allah is behind you. The Jews are not following their God. Victory is a foregone conclusion. God protected the Jews who were rebelling against God. It was a theological impossibility to Islam. God will judge Israel's rebellion. It shall come to pass in that all the lands of the Lord, two parts therein, shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire. The word Holocaust is not Hebrew, it's Greek. Holo meaning holy. Cost meaning fire, as in caustic acid, burning, not flames, but burning. Holy burning. One third of the Jews were destroyed in World War II. In the tribulation Holocaust, two thirds of the Jews will die. Now, the Jews do not have a monopoly for rebelling against God. Unfortunately, Canada is just as rebellious, but so are the Arabs. And the Arabs will be judged for their opposition of the Jews coming back to the land. And this is where we might see Psalm 83 come to pass in the near future. Keep not thou silent, O God, hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They said, come, and let us cut off them from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, the Hagarines, the Gebal, Ammon, and the Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. But God says, let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. As the fire burneth wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that man may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art most high over all the earth. That seems to be a prophecy that seems to be right around the corner, I believe. Psalm 83. Lest you think I'm picking on the Jews and the Arabs, let me remind you that our people, our kinsmen according to the flesh at this time, will be following the Antichrist. Good Morgan Europa. A woman dressed in scarlet riding upon a beast. For Der Spiegel. The symbol of Europe is a woman riding a beast. And I would include America in that because we are descendants of Japheth. Revelation 18. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her, double according to her works. in the cup which he has filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she has said in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her place come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Next major event in God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. The last piece of the prophetic puzzle was fulfilled last year when the Rough Riders won the Grey Cup. I was saying that for years. The Rough Riders had to win the Grey Cup one more time. It doesn't matter anymore if the Rough Riders win the Grey Cup. They've won it, and now there is no other piece of prophetic pieces that has to be fulfilled. After the removal of the church, the Antichrist will be revealed. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who lets or hinders will hinder or let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Both the Jews and the Arabs will be seduced by Satan's false peace plan. By peace, he shall destroy many. Some people believe that Daniel chapter 8, 25 is talking about Alexander the Great, but no one could say that Alexander the Great was a man of peace. He was a great man, greatly by God, but he was a man of war. This is talking about the Antichrist. And you notice that symbol there? We were told that that was a peace sign. That was my generation. That's a peace sign. The symbol represented peace in the early 60s. Among today's heavy metal and occult groups, it signifies the cross of Nero. The inverted cross anchor broken downward, signifying the defeat of Christianity. It is called the Tudor's Rune in Germany. It was used by leftist peace marchers in 1958, called the Broken Cross, the Crow's Foot, the Witch's Foot, Nero's Cross, the sign of the broken Jew. It is the symbol for the Antichrist in occultic religions. There is the Tudor's Rune in Germany. They are located throughout. It is used by black magicians as curses. It was used by the Nazis, the dreaded SS, had an upside down peace sign. When you go across the border, and if any of you decide to go with the tour coming up in 2016, maybe I'll come along, who knows. If you go over to Jordan, you cross the Jordan and you look back, there is a sign. Shalom, salam, peace. Peace, peace, peace. The Bible says that the Jews and Arabs will be seduced by this peace plan. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule the people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with the hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. God calls it your covenant with death and hell. And the Jews say, because we've made this covenant, we will escape Armageddon. In Isaiah 28, it says that your covenant with death and hell will not last. I will judge you. Both the Arabs and the Jews will be seduced by the Antichrist's false peace. They have healed also the hurt of the autonomized people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. On that particular day, President Jimmy Carter said, Shalom, Salam, as they were shaking hands, peace, peace. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief comes upon mischief, rumor shall be upon rumor. Then they shall seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and the council from the ancients. To wit, the prophets of Israel was prophesied concerning Jerusalem and see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, says the Lord God. Adolf Hitler came to power with a promise of peace. My party comrades will not fail to understand me when they hear me speak of universal peace, disarmament, mutual security pacts. All of us and all peoples have a feeling we are at the turning point of a new age. People must find a new relation to each other. Some new form must be created. Hitler came on a platform of peace, just as the Antichrist will. Now, let's take a look at the Arabs in prophecy. Early in the tribulation period, Iran will join a coalition of nations led by Russia to invade Israel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince, the prince of Rosh, of Meshach. Meshach is the old name for Moscow. Descendants of the sons of Japheth, known as Moski or Moscow, that's Meshach. Definition of Meshach, Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. The Moschini were founded by Meshach. Now they are Cappadocians. That was Josephus. Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer will join this coalition of Russian to invade Israel. By the way, Persia was the name of Iran to 1935. The Persians were Aryans, Indo-Europeans who came from Central Asia 1000 BC. Iran means the land of Aryans. That's from National Geographic. That's not from a Bible-believing, thumping fundamentalist. That's National Geographic. Naming conventions for Persia changed in 1935. The suggestion for the name change from Persia to Iran is said to come from Persian ambassador to Germany, who was a Nazi sympathizer. In 1935, Germany was ruled by Hitler. Arianism was equated by Nazis as the highest level of human civilization in an article of faith based on vulgar Hegelian hyperbolia. Apparently, the Persian ambassador was persuaded by his Nazi friends that Persia would be better off as an ally of Nazi Germany. Moreover, he became convinced that a country should be called by its Persian name, Iran, in Western languages. It was a single, the new beginning, and bring home to the world a new era in Iranian history, one that would emphasize the Aryan aspect of his people. The name Iran is cognate of the old word Aryan. The Aryan nation, Nazism. Russia already has a treaty with Iran. This is 2007. Putin forged an alliance with Iran Tuesday against any military action by the West to destroy the country's nuclear ambitions. Why hasn't the West gone against Iran? To do so is to declare war on Russia. Ahmadinejad believes in the 12th Iman. The 12 or sect believe it will be Muhammad bin Hassan, regarded as the 12th Iman, or righteous descendant of the prophet Muhammad. He's went into occlusion in the 9th century, age of 5. His return will be preceded by cosmic chaos, war, and bloodshed. After a cataclysmic confrontation with evil and darkness, the Mahdi will lead the world into an era of universal peace. Muslims believe Armageddon is required in order for Islam to take over the world. Mr. Ahmadinejad appears to believe these events are close at hand. Ordinary mortals can influence the divine timetable. He was very anti-Semitic. He said that Israel no longer had any reason to exist and would soon disappear. God promises he's going to destroy Russia and her isles and her allies. It'll be with, "Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. I will send fire upon Magog and among those that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord." According to Jewish tradition, those who lived in the isles were those people who lived beyond the shores of Spain. How many of you were frightened to death when the Planet of the Apes came out? Remember, the apes were telling Charlton Heston, "Don't go to the ocean, don't go to the ocean." They didn't want to see him to see that when he got to the ocean. He falls off his horse and begins to cry. He sees the Statue of Liberty. And he said, we blew ourselves up. And he didn't go back to another planet, he came back to the Earth. That caused my whole generation to be terrified of nuclear war. I think that we might be part of the destruction. We may go at the same time as Russia. But it's not all bad news for Iran. See right in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little purple thing called Elam. The Bible promised in the last days, Elam will be restored. "But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, says the Lord." That country's going to come back to life sometime, either in the tribulation or the millennial kingdom. God is going to bless the children of Elam. Egypt will suffer greatly at the hands of the Antichrist. "It is be for a sign and witness unto the Lord of hosts and land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior." The Lord is not only going to go to Jerusalem, he's also going to go to Petra, and he's going to go to Egypt to rescue the remnant of his people. "And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. And they shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall perform a vow unto the Lord and perform it." Midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist causes a sacrifice to stop in Israel. Sacrifice begins in Egypt. Whether it is going to be some of the Levites who flee from Israel into Egypt, or whether God is going to raise up Egyptian priests to do the sacrifice, they're going to do the sacrifice to Allah? No, to the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. That is the word Jehovah. When Jesus returns, he is going to bless Egypt and Iraq. In that day, there will be a highway out of Egypt to Iraq. Perhaps today we can say ISIS instead, I'm not sure. "And the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Iraq, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Iraqians. And that day Israel will be a third with Egypt and Iraq, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Millennial kingdom, blessed be Egypt, my people, Iraq, the work of mine hands, and Israel, divine inheritance." They're going to have a millennial blessing alongside Israel. Have you ever thought of this? Egypt hid their Lord from Herod. If Egypt had not protected our Lord, there would have been no sacrifice for us. "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Egypt protected the Lord from Herod. Likewise, Syria will suffer greatly for standing up against the Antichrist. city of Damascus shall be destroyed. The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city and shall be a ruinous heap. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? I've heard a lot of people speak of this prophecy, but somehow or other they never get to verse 3. Here is the millennial promise. And the remnant of Syria, they shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. Abraham is called a Syrian. He came from Syria. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. The word Palestine is Latin for Philistine. In Zechariah chapter 9, 6 and 7, it talks about the future glory of the Palestinians. An ambassador shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, Palestinians. And I will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abomination between his feet, teeth, but he shall remain it, even he shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. Remember the Jebusites in Jerusalem? That is the land that David bought the temple from. God blessed the Jebusites. He's going to bless the remnant of the Palestinians in the kingdom. God also promised he would restore the kingdom to Moab and Ammon. These are the middle and upper provinces of Jordan. If I read my Bible correctly, Lawrence of Arabia is much a prophet of last days as Theodore Herzl, for he helped in the foundation of Moab and Ammon. What most people do not realize was Lawrence of Arabia was a committed Zionist. He had the opportunity to conquer Jerusalem. Instead, he led the Arab people not to Jerusalem but to Damascus, because Jerusalem belonged to the Jewish people and Damascus belonged to the Arabs. Sir Martin Gilbert says that he was a serious Zionist who believed in the Jewish state from the Mediterranean shore to the River Jordan. For the sake of time, I'll go through here quickly. We'll just go past here. Lawrence of Arabia, was also a close friend of King Faisal of Iraq. Chaim Weizmann is on the left, the first president of Israel. King Faisal on the right. Here's what King Faisal said in answer to the Balfour Declaration. We do our best insofar as we are concerned to help them through. We will wish the Jews a most hearty welcome home. I look forward, and my people with me look forward to a future in which we will help you and you will help us. The Arabs were not opposed to the return of the Jews after World War I. Something happened. The rebirth of Ammon, Ezekiel 25:7. Behold, therefore, I will stretch out my hand upon thee and deliver thee for a spoil unto the heathen. And I will cut thee off from people and cause thee to perish out of the countries, and I will destroy thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. There is the judgment of Ammon. But look at what he says. And afterwards I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, says the Lord. This is Jeremiah 49, this messianic kingdom times. He will restore Ammon in the last days. Rebirth of Moab, I will execute judgment upon Moab, and they shall know that I am Lord. And there we see that the Lord wept with the judgment of Moab. Yet I will bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, says the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. During the tribulation period, Jewish refugees will flee to Jordan, where they'll be protected by the Lord. He, the Antichrist, shall enter into a glorious land, and many countries shall be even thrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, Moab, and the chief children of Ammon. That's modern-day Jordan. Psalm 90, Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hath cast us off, and thou, God, which dost not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble? For vain is the help of man, though through God we do valiantly, for he is he that shall tread down our enemies. Remnant of Jewish people will flee to Edom, led by the Lord. And I take that to be the Lord's Spirit, because he'll come back later on. Book of the Revelation, and the women of Israel fled into the wilderness, for she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 3.5 years. Jordan. Revelation chapter 12, when Satan saw he was cast into the earth, he persecuted Israel. He tried to flood Israel, but the earth opens up and swallows up the flood that's sent by Satan. The Jews will be safe in Jordan. If any of you are not saved here tonight, the rapture would take place tonight, and you're wondering, where should I go? Don't go to Israel. Don't stay here in America. Don't go to Europe. Take the next plane over to Jordan. It will be protected from the Antichrist. It's the only place safe during the tribulation period. When Jesus returns, not only does he go to Jerusalem, he goes back to Jordan. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that glorious in his peril, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and the garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people, there was none with me. I will tread them in my anger and trample in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I'll stain all my remnant. During the tribulation period, many Jews and Arabs will turn to the Lord. Concerning the Jews, I will pour upon the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Concerning the Arabs, I'll just in the general of all people, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. I took this picture at Petra. Two of the sweetest ladies that you're ever going to meet. Sort of like Fort Calgary or Fort Edmonton. They get their people to dress up like they were during the time of Edom. And they are gracious. And they are lovely. And they are polite. And you can see that they're beautiful people. It would break my heart if these girls died in their sins and went to hell. Concerning all those nations, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I like to go hiking, so when we went to Petra, I went climbing up one of the hills around Petra. You can see the burial place of Aaron. The burial place of Moses, right in that vicinity of Petra. While I went up there, Eleanor sat with this little Arab lady. They talked for a good half hour. She was a sweet little thing. I would hate to see that girl go to hell. Application. God must keep his promises to the Arab nations, otherwise the covenant-keeping God cannot be trusted to keep his promises to the Jews and to the Christians. The soldiers at Petra are retired from the Jordanian army. When you go to Petra, they're so friendly. They want to be your friend. Come stand beside me, take my picture. At Petra, one of our people on tour left their camera on a bench. And the group said, that's going to be the last you see of your camera. 15 minutes later, the police came up and said, is this your camera? They're lovely people. It would break my heart if that Arab man dies in his sins and goes to hell. God is not willing that any should perish. If God does not keep His promises to the Arabs, we have no guarantee that a covenant-keeping God will keep His promise for eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. If God breaks His promises to the Arabs, that's not worth a piece of paper it's written on. If we cannot trust God to keep His promises to the Arabs, we cannot trust Him to keep His promises to us. That's how serious I put His promises to the Arab people. Application. You can be a Christian Zionist and yet love and support the Arab nations. For they will protect God's chosen people from the Antichrist during the tribulation period and will share the blessings of the Jewish people during the millennial kingdom. The future of Israel is linked to the future of the Arabs. There's Lawrence of Arabia, a committed Zionist, and also the father of the independent Arab states. Application, there will be no peace for Arabs and Jews until the Prince of Peace comes. There's going to come a time when the Arabs and Jews will hug each other, share the same land, and God will bless them. Peace will come only until the Prince of Peace returns. For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he, the Messiah, shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There is no peace, says my God, unto the wicked. That's why there's no peace in the Middle East. The Arabs are wicked. The Jews are wicked. That's why Canada's at war. Canada is wicked. In the meantime, it is God's will that we have peace with Him. True peace does not come from rituals in churches and synagogues and mosques. Some of the worst people I know are church members or go to a mosque or go to the synagogue. Jesus said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue, corner of the streets, that may be seen by men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. They were more righteous than zealous Muslims, more righteous than Orthodox Jews today. They're more righteous than any religious people. And you better be more righteous than them. Oops. And then 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, word, not willing to that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God didn't create hell for the Muslims. He didn't create hell for the Jews. He didn't create hell for any human. He made hell for Satan and the demons. And He did everything He could to keep Muslims, Jews, apostate Christians, New Agers, Buddhists, and everybody else out of hell. He died to pay for our sins. James said, whoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. One can think of an honest murderer who never has told a lie. Or a gentle thief, and they stand before the judge. Well, Your Majesty, I've never told a lie in my life. You're not going to send me to jail simply because I murdered somebody. No judge will judge our good works. He judges our sins, our violation of the law. Our good works cannot save us. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. know, I think if I could invent a machine that I could read all of your guys' minds, I would be shocked. With some of the things you are thinking, you know why I'd be shocked? Because I know what I think. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is we. We are dirty, rotten sinners who need a Savior. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Literally, bloody menstrual cloths. When I say to the righteous, he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness, commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. You're trusting in your own self-righteousness. I've got some bad news for you. You're condemned before God. You cannot trust your own righteousness. You've got to trust in the blood of Jesus. Whoop. Peace can only be found in the Messiah. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Holds on this. It's the story of the watchman. Watchman was to watch for the enemy coming. Danger was coming. He was to blow the trumpet. Ezekiel says, if the watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, the inhabitants of the city are going to perish. But their blood will be required at the watchman. I think as we look at the world today, things are happening quick. We are not the same world as we were even a year ago. Things are moving, accelerating. Many of our friends and relatives are going to be left behind. We do not warn them. Their blood will be required at your hand, at my hand.